passage is the choice of strength. Now, I don't know about you guys, but these have been some trying days in 2020. And strength has been challenged in major ways. How do you feel spiritually? And don't shout it out right now. But how do you feel spiritually? You know how it is. People say, how you doing? How you feel? And each day we wake up is a whole new journey, isn't it? Sometimes we feel physically strong. Sometimes we feel physically weak. But the same is true when it comes to our spiritual condition. How do you feel spiritually? What is the countenance of your heart of faith? Because, Ron, I know your faith has been challenged in 2020. I know everyone in here, we have met consequences that have challenged our faith. And the question again, what is the countenance right now of the faith that is in you? And how would you diagnose the true condition of your spiritual health? I have an appointment tomorrow. I have to go to the doctor for an annual physical. And if you've been there, you know what that's about. The first visit you make is you go and you get blood work done. And so it takes about a week for the doctor to process that. And when you go back, he stands with knowledge in his hands. And over the years of going to the doctor, he will sometimes, not always, he will sit with that report in his hand. And I love it when he says this. He says, Ned, this is going to be boring. And so basically, he's saying everything's okay. It's going to be boring. But the last time I went there, he didn't say that. So my antennas went up. A little cholesterol was a little high. So in that, the doctor sits down with us. And I think the blurred out image back here is those instruments that you see when you go see the doctor. You know that when you leave that place, your hope is that your true condition is going to be exposed so you can do something about it, or you know how to pray better about your condition. How would you diagnose the true condition of your spiritual health? Someone sat down with you and you knew the only people that were going to hear this is your doctor, God. And that you were going to give him a proper assessment of how you feel. Because that's how the doctor responds to us many times. He'll ask, how you doing? How you feeling? And if we don't answer honest to him, it can affect his ability to understand what's going on. We know God knows everything. So I want to go through a few things this morning, a spiritual checkup. And I want you to answer these questions just personally to your heart. So let me ask you this. Are you fatigued spiritually? Do you feel like the stamina that you had in 2019 is just not there spiritually? Or maybe when you made that decision to grow in Christ, to be born again, that spiritual stamina that you had is no longer there. Are you fatigued spiritually? The other question is this. Are you lacking spiritual strength? Could you at one time handle circumstances a lot better, and when I say that, more with the attitude of Christ than you are right now? And are you drawing to places of limit that last year or maybe a number of months ago you could handle fine, but now it's just hitting you in a tough way, and you don't feel the strength that you once felt? And then another question I want to ask this morning in this spiritual checkup is, you're soul weary. You know, deep down inside, when you think about pressing through all that we stand, that stands before us, is your soul just weary? Like, I don't want to just deal with that anymore. It would be easier for me just to put an X on it, and walk away. Is that the condition? And again, we're looking closely at the spiritual checkup. Another question is this. Are you spiritually exhausted? You know, some people get to that point where they say enough is enough. And at that point, they just say, okay, God, I did the God thing. I walked with you for a while. And I think what I'm going to do now, I'm just going to take charge. I'm not casting you away. I'm not denying that you exist. But I'm going to take the driver's seat again. I'm going to have faith the way that I want to have faith. So at that point, we're just so exhausted that we no longer can press forward in a way of growing. And then this last few questions is this. How would God classify your true spiritual condition? What would God's assessment be? Because we want to know what? We want to know the doctor's assessment. We want to know what the doctor thinks about the condition. If we don't like what he says, we sometimes will go and get a second opinion. But what is God's opinion about our true spiritual condition? And then this question, did you pass or fail the spiritual checkup question? Just think about that, or questions. And here's a couple of responses here. If you answered yes to the checkup questions, you are poised for tremendous spiritual strength. You know, when you go to the doctor and you're like, yes, 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 and you know the list they give you before you go in, check all these things that you think you're dealing with. One time I got so mad I went to a doctor's office, and instead of handing me a sheet of paper, they handed me an iPad. And I don't know about you guys, I don't like giving overly amount of information out, you know, because I'm thinking, who's getting all of that? And there were some things in there I just didn't want to be hassled with. But that iPad, you could not turn it in until you answered all the questions. And I finally got frustrated. I said, you can have this thing back. And then the next time I went to that doctor, they didn't have iPads anymore. I don't think I was the only one like that. But this is so true. If you answered yes to the checkup questions, you are poised for tremendous spiritual strength. And then also this. When we recognize our fatigue, our lack of strength, the weariness of our soul, our spiritual exhaustion, we make room for the power and strength of God within. Isn't that a blessing? When we envision God by what we feel inside, God can take on some really strange descriptions of our hearts, or envisions of our heart. Because inside, if we're honest, we walk through these weaknesses. We're reminded what Paul said, for when I am weak, then should I give up? No. For when I am weak, am I a bad person? Nope. For when I'm weak, I'll just check out and do my own thing and give up on God? No. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, the latter part, he says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, some people say, that doesn't make any sense to me. But it makes a whole lot of sense. And unless we perceive it in this vision of the word, this understanding of the word, we are setting ourselves up for a tremendous, disappointing journey of faith. See, the danger of our spiritual health, excuse me, let me go back to this. The danger of our spiritual health arises when we fail to depend upon the strength that God alone can provide. You know, God didn't call any of us to be superheroes. Never did. Or beyond the ability are to have the ability in ourselves to be depleted of the strength of God. In fact, God's strength only grows mighty in us when we recognize how weak we truly are. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, a scripture that we all have heard and remember fondly. Isaiah writes, "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Those are the promises of God. And this is where we're going to spend a lot of our time today. You are not the source of your spiritual strength. So the good news is this: take the pressure off yourself. Because, you know, we're good about doing things to impress God. We are good about getting a plan to make it work out. And we'll go ahead and take charge because we don't want to what? We don't want to hassle God. In fact, God, I got this kind of mentality. We like taking charge, but we are not the source of our spiritual strength, no matter how spiritual we think we are. And then this, strength is not a feeling. You say, "Man, wait a minute. Now, to be strong, you got to feel strong." Mm-mm. If you watched football yesterday and you saw these athletes that are just trained for strength in the workout room, strong as could be, and at the end of that game, they're what? They're exhausted. They don't feel very what? Strong. But are they strong? They're extremely strong. Because strength, again, is not a feeling. And in our journey with God, if we depend on our feeling of strength to be that which is security for us, we're setting ourselves up for tremendous failure. Because strength is not a feeling. It's more than a feeling. Strength is a choice. Now, here's the thing. If we wake up every day gauging how good God is by how good we feel, that's a sad place to be. If we wake up every morning looking for the mind to be celebrating and to always feel good, and then that's how we envision God, we are setting ourselves up for a whole lot of trouble. Because again, strength is not a feeling. Strength is a choice. And this is the strength that God places in us. Strength is a knowing. A knowing that goes deeply to our heart. It is seated so deep within us that knowing shows us deep within who we are dependent upon. And it even goes deeper than that. It's a knowing of the soul. A knowing woven deep within the substance of who we are. Isn't that a beautiful thing to know that God will take strength and make it part of who he created us to be? A knowing of his strength goes well beyond the feeling. It's like that song today. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Because I don't know about you guys, what I see would frighten me half to death. And what I feel would frighten me half to death. And it ain't about the vision of our eyes or the feeling of this body and mind. It is a choice that we make of who we will trust in. You know, God is raising up some mighty, mighty warriors for this day. Because there's no way that God would place us in 2020 without making some warriors to help us along the journey. And thank God for that. Yeah. Yeah. The knowing that is the true essence of the fruit of living faith in us. How do I know if my faith is living? I know it by the knowing that is deeply seated in me of who my source is and where my strength comes from. Isaiah 40:29 again tells us this. It is He. It is God. God gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. It is God that produces that which is strength to us, and he is one that willingly gives, and he is one that not only gives a little, but he increases it daily as we choose the strength that he offers. And then I want to look at this. Our flesh is spiritually faint. Now, I don't know about you. I can relate to that picture. Because sometimes that's how I feel inside. You been there? Just faint. Can't go on. Just easier to what? Quit. But in this, our flesh is always spiritually faint. Our flesh has no spiritual might, and that's okay because that's normal. It's abnormal to think that our flesh has the ability to grow in faith and be what God has wanted or what God wants us to be and to walk in His strength. Our flesh is not designed to do that. And you say, flesh, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that old nature that we were born with, that we grow up as a little child trusting in, until by grace and mercy God reveals to us that old nature has one destination, and that nature is not to be propped up. It's not to be encouraged. That nature must, what? Die. And once we die to that nature, we come to this knowledge. We see it for what it is. And when it says die, it doesn't mean that it fades and goes away. No. In fact, it gets mad at you because you have asked God to kill that flesh. It will rise back up. And when it rises back up, you're in a different place now because you see it for what it is. Will you fight it? Yes, you will fight it. Will it sometimes knock you down? Yes, it will sometimes knock you down. But you will be wise to it, and the strength that God has placed in you, His Spirit, will see that flesh die what? One time? Daily die. Isn't it good when knowledge comes and we see ourselves for how God sees ourselves? It's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. Because the greatest enemy is not just the enemy called Satan, but it's Satan's ability to manipulate that fallen nature and cause us to trust in it. And we'll trust in it and call it faith. We will trust in it and call it pleasing to God. We will trust in it and think somehow it's going to save us, but it is all about a lie. Because the flesh has a destination already plotted out and lined up by God. It is to die daily. The flesh, again, has no spiritual might. The flesh gives this, though. It gives religious power, not Holy Spirit power. Now hold on to that for a minute. The flesh likes to say hallelujah. The flesh likes to state its case of how righteous or self-righteous I am. Oh, it loves it. In fact, the flesh loves coming to church and working in church. Really does. It loves to call out faith that is false. The flesh gives birth to religious power, not Holy Spirit power. That is why God gives power to the faint and strength to those with no might, because only His power, only His strength can give us the desires of His heart for us. He gives what? Power. He gives strength. And then I want to look at this in verse 30. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Even the young, even those that call themselves strong, will grow weary and exhausted and faint. But I want us to look at this. Spiritual weariness, fatigue, exhaustion, and lack of strength, that's good news, is normal for all followers of Christ. There's nothing wrong with you. In fact, if you recognize it, that tells God that you have a knowing and a knowledge that is going to protect you. Because if there's a lot of people that came to Christ and that overwhelming emotional feeling of salvation, of being born again, was such a high to them. I mean, it's good when we're born again, right? But they leaned too much on the feeling. And then life showed up and started doubling down, and the feeling didn't feel that great anymore. And because it was based on feeling, they're out and about following the flesh all over again. And we've all have met journeys like that at times in our life. But God wants to protect us from that. Again, our spiritual maturity does not guard us from spiritual weariness, fatigue, exhaustion, and lack of spiritual strength. You don't outgrow the struggle. You don't. You know, we do have people that are more on the positive side of thinking. And thank God for people that are, you know, always up, positive. It helps us out, doesn't it? But this is where the challenge comes. In spiritual maturity, we never mature so much to be void of the suffering and void of the struggle. And that is good news, not bad news. We go through a daily devotion as a congregation, those that have signed up for this, and we've been walking through 2 Peter. And it's been such an encouragement. And today's study talked about the patience of God and how in that patience, it teaches us to wait on Him when things aren't the way that we want them to be. Patient through the days of evil. And again, I'm not getting all the details correct, but it brought this to mind. That if we as believers think that things just have to feel good to be good with God, then we are in a very, very dangerous place. And so here, we looked at this. Time is a reality of purpose. Time is the reality of God's purpose in you. And it didn't say this. Good time is the reality of God's purpose in you. Easy time is the reality of God's purpose in you. Time is the reality of the opportunity to be what God has asked you to be. So, but if we wait on our feeling to operate our steps to move further in our faith and trust in God, we're going to be hitting pause all the time. But when the struggle comes, there's a design that God has for us. And we see it here. What is our part in the process of gaining spiritual strength? Because there is a responsibility, and it's found in verse 31 of Isaiah 40. But they who, and we know this word well, wait. Oh, wait. I don't have what? Time to wait. You going to make me what? Wait. Are you serious? I have been waiting for, we know where that goes, right? So sometimes when we look at that word wait, we think, oh no, I don't want to what? I don't want to wait. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. All those who are willing to wait. We must wait on the Lord. Now, I want to talk about that word for a minute. Wait is not inaction. Wait is not sitting dormant. Wait is an action that God has given us. The action of waiting on God. How do we wait on the Lord so that our spiritual strength is renewed? Let's look at it this way. You go to the doctor, you're not doing good. He's going to ask you a couple of questions, right? And a couple of those questions are going to be this, because this is how our mind works. He'll ask you, what you been what? What you been eating? What's your diet been like? Well, it's been good. Well, what do you mean? Good. It's tasted good, right? But they will ask, what are you eating? Now, the cholesterol thing I mentioned earlier is, I know that in my life, that is a genetic thing. And not all cholesterol is bad, but I'm going to stop it right there. It's not. The doctor will say, well, how have you, what's been your diet? In our walk with God, we will think about these things, about what has been the intake in my life. What have I been bringing out? Some of the first things. And then we'll hear questions like this. Have you been, exercising? If changing that remote is an exercise, I've been good at it, right? I've been good at forming that outline in my couch. Oh, it's hard to open them chips in the morning. He'll ask you, or she'll ask you, have you been exercising? And we'll think about that. What has been our spiritual exercise? But then it goes to the other level. Have you been working out? It's one thing to exercise. It's another thing to work out, right? Austin told me he went to a gym a number of years back, and the guy came over to him. And I think he was honest with him about this, but he says, you know what really bugs me? He says, I will have clients come into our gym, and they'll spend 3+ hours in here for a workout. And they'll do a couple of exercises, and then they'll go get on their phone for a while, and then they'll come back. He says, that's not how you work out effectively. He says, you can get that workout done. How many minutes did he say? 15 to 20 minutes, you can get it done, over, and then you move on. But it's got to be a what? A workout. But the doctor will say, have you been taking it where it needs to go? Have you been pressing to the place where you're gaining something for your time? Have you applied passion and intensity? Have you been what? Working out. But many, like me, back in the days of the Nautilus machine. Anybody remember the Nautilus machine? I signed up, and I'd go to that gym, and I saw my friends. I think some of them may have been taking steroids, I'll be honest with you, because I was getting discouraged. And I think some of them were on steroids. I'm sorry, back in those days, it were just supplements, right? And I signed up because I was going to bulk up. Signed up for a year, went about 2 weeks, right? Don't quit. Why? It hurts. It hurts to look at your friend look like Mr. Universe and you're up there hurting. Don't quit. So in our knowledge of how to grow in spiritual strength, we'll think about the spiritual diet, we'll think about the spiritual exercise, and we'll think about the spiritual workout. But if that is how our mind is focused, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. But that's normal for us, isn't it? If I'm going to press into God and have spiritual strength, I got to do this checklist. I got to what? I got to do better. And I've shared this with you over the years, guys. One of the most challenging comments to me is when the answer to Christ is going to church. That's not the answer to spiritual strength. Now, I will tell you, as a pastor, we need to be in church. We need to be in church. It's part of the unity and the growth process of God. But going to church ain't going to change a thing in our lives. It can if it's in the right order. But the answer is not going to church. I said, Pastor, hush, we don't have that many people here today. It's not. Because going to church is not waiting on the Lord. Amen. It can be. It can be a phenomenal expression, and it is the balance of faith that is growing. You give up on church should be the sign that you're giving up on faith. It's just true. Do not forsake the gathering of yourselves, even that much more as that day approaches. Don't. It's not about the spiritual diet only. It's not about the spiritual exercise only. It's not even about the spiritual workout only. When it gets tough, I'm holding on. I'm going to press through. I'm not going to what? Give up. But that in itself will not develop spiritual strength. Because all of those things that I'm talking about, we can do in ourselves. We can do in ourselves. We can eat spiritual food all alone. We can take spiritual exercise all alone. And we can work out spiritually. We can be more diligent than almost anyone that ever walked this earth. But we can do that in our own power. And we'll pat ourselves on the back and say, look at how righteous I am. But that's not waiting on the Lord. That word waiting, I want us to look at it for a moment. To wait in the original language is to bring about this understanding. It's being bound together. It's not sitting quietly, void of interaction. But that word carries the meaning of being united, being bound together. And so to wait on the Lord is like this. It's waiting not alone, but it's waiting in a relationship. Waiting is a relational activity in our lives. It's not a checklist, it is a relationship. Waiting is not just checking the list of the diet, the exercise, the workout. Waiting is an invitation to grow in a bond with God that is a relationship with Him. That is at the whole core of what God is requesting for His strength to find its home within us. It is impossible to be bound together with God without being born again. And what does it look like? When we're saved, God gives us what? A new heart, a new nature. That old nature dies and that new nature comes. And at that point, we have the ability through the Holy Spirit that is now living in us to be bonded together with the Holy Ghost. But see, many people don't want to go there because they're not comfortable going there. Because the Holy Spirit will give power to the new nature that God has given us. And that relationship only gets stronger over time if we continue to what? To wait. To relate. To stay connected to God. He is all about relationship. See, to wait on the Lord is to grow in unity of heart, mind, and spirit with God. Here's a question. What are we, all of us, what are we waiting for? Another way of saying that, what are we being bound to? For in our lives, our steps are binding us to something or someone. And the question again would be this. Go back a week from last Sunday to today. What had my energy, had my focus, what had my mind, what had my heart, and what had my spirit? And if it isn't relationship with God, you're being formed in an image that God, and I'm talking to myself, we are being formed into an image that God never intended for us. And it's not going to feel right unless we make it our norm. And it cannot be our norm. God did not call us to form his opinion of who we ought to be. He's made it clear in his word who he wants us to be. And if we wait on him, if we are bound to him, spiritual diet, spiritual exercise, spiritual workout, strength is going to be ours in abundance. In times of weakness, the bonding process is not lost, it's intensified. You know, when I'm hurting and I'm waiting, things get better with God. Because I ask him to come and to be that strength in my weakness. And I sit back and I understand in that call to him, that welcoming of him, wow, I see his power and not my power. And I rest in not my strength. I rest in his strength. Run to God. Run to God. You feel weak? You feel worn out? Run to God. Cast your cares on him. You know, he, what? He cares for you. Trust in his strength, not yours. See, we must not give up in times of spiritual weakness. It's easy to. Get an attitude towards God. Why'd you let this happen, God? Why do I feel like I feel? And then we equate it to this. If I am walking in faith, then what I'm experiencing must be the reality of who God is. No. If it's based on feelings, it will always lie to us. Choose the strength that God has for you. Our weakness must draw us closer to God. It can and it must. Do you feel challenged spiritually today? Do you feel fatigued? Do you feel worn out? Hallelujah. Because God awaits to fill you and to bring his strength in the way. Get out of the way, O strength of man. Get out of the way, O strength that disguises itself as a spirit of God that is really my flesh. O religious spirit, get thee behind me. Weakness reminds us of our true source, the true source of our strength. Thank you, Lord. But they who wait, be bound in your relationship with God. Draw closer to Him. What happened this past week? What was the steps that allowed the diet, the exercise, and the workout to really be there? Because what it is, it looks like this. They who wait for the Lord. Hear that word, for the Lord? It's an open door to God. Oh God, come, be here with me. Oh Spirit of God, come and be with me. Oh presence of God, form the mind of Christ in me. I what? I welcome you. And there is an invitation that we mark out to God when we open that door. The greatest red carpet that you can put out for God is this. Sit with His word and say, oh God, the breath of life is here in my hands. I cannot understand your word without the help of your Holy Spirit. So, O Spirit of God that lives in me, reach me, take me, bound me with your understanding, and open your word to me so that I know. And you know what? For those that have more of a challenge reading or are not lengthy readers, that's okay. It's the quality of what you get, not the quantity. And you sit and say, breath of God, because every word is the breath of God. Open it and let me see. Not only that I have it in my mind, in my knowledge, but that not only that I know it, but that I know how to walk it and how it applies. And we don't stop there. We say, oh God, as you open that knowing to me, help me be an opener of that knowing to others. Let me share it. Let me give the testimony by the word of their testimony. Let me tell. Let me tell. There's a lot of stuff being told today that's wearing people out. Can't go for Thanksgiving. You can't. You can't. Oh, Christmas might be canceled. Are you kidding me? People need some hope today. People need some life today. Arise, arise, O testimony of God, through those that are waiting on God, being bonded with Him greater and greater every day. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Strength is not a feeling. It's not. I don't feel good. That's all right. It's all right. Because it's not based on feeling. Strength is a choice. And if you're able today to stand to your feet as we bow in prayer today. Father, we ask that you empower us to choose your strength in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we do not negate feelings. We know they hurt. We know they take us through trial and challenges. We not discredit them in any way, shape, or form. Because hurt, Lord, hurts. It hurts. But Father, we ask that you take these challenges, these weaknesses that we feel, and that you would enter in right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, to the heart this morning. Your hope is not found in any human being. If you have placed your hope in any human being, God will challenge that in your life. For men will fail you. People will fail you. God will never fail you. For God never told you that you would not be lied to. God never told you that the journey was going to be easy. But what he has promised you is his strength in the middle of the trial. In the name of Jesus, may we not project the hurt of others in our relationship with you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We say, oh Lord, teach me to wait on you. If that's in your heart today, just ask him. Teach me how to bond with you, Lord, to be strengthened by you, to not rely on my feelings or my strength, but to rely on you in the name of Jesus. And if this is in your spirit today, just open that door for Jesus to come in the name of Jesus. And you can even do it in a physical way. Open the door for Jesus to enter in the hurts and the feelings that you have in the name of Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. We are bound with you. And we ask this, that we welcome you in, Jesus. For attitude arises, emotions shut down, hearts harden, bitterness grows, love moves out and hatred moves in. But we say in the name of Jesus, we welcome you right now. Come, Lord Jesus, and strengthen us with your heart, with your mind, in the name of Jesus. And we choose not to have just a mind and a knowledge that you exist, but have a knowing that you exist in an ongoing daily relationship that grows in you. Unity of heart, unity of mind, unity of spirit with the Almighty God who formed us and made us. In Jesus' name we pray. As we worship the Lord, these altars are open.